I have the pleasure of introducing our guest speaker this morning. We have Luke Iker joining us, and Luke is part of our LifeLinks family. He and his wife, Amanda, pastor Grace Sturgis Church in Michigan. And if you actually Google the church, they had a very unexpected visitor turn up last year and for refuge and potentially salvation. So maybe Luke will tell you a little bit more about that. I'm still waiting on the baptism video and the testimony of just how he came to be there. You know, I'm holding out, praying for him. But both Luke and Amanda have been guests on our Wednesday night lives that we've done, and they shared so much wisdom. And so I know that we have an amazing word in store for us. So can you help us welcome Luke to the stage?
Good morning. It's an honor to be here, a real pleasure actually. And yes, we are the Deer in Church video from Michigan. If you haven't seen it, you could just type in Google Deer in Church and it pops right up there. Our first viral video ever, just a great accomplishment. It's one of our life goals. We can check it off the list. It's done. I won't make Amanda do it, but I mean, she is now famous as the Oh My Word girl. Oh my word! So it was actually quite something. We showed up on a Monday morning, looked like somebody had broken into the church. The window was smashed. Amanda said, "We've been broken into." And then there was a noise, and she said, "He's still here." And so I came running. I turned the lights on, and I yelled, "Hey!" And as the lights came on, I was staring face to face with the 10-point buck right in our church. He would have been like right here if he was in this building. He was right here. And we were just like locked eyes. And then we both panicked and I yelled, "It's a deer." And the deer was like, "I'm a deer." And he took off running and he was jumping into the wall and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And Amanda caught it on video. And so it's been fun. Gave a lot of people a laugh. And the crazy thing about all of it was the opening morning of deer season in Michigan. And so that's just what made it over the top. Just a funny story. He came seeking refuge, and we scared him back out into the wild to face his maker. So it's a real pleasure to be here. We actually just called Dave and Linda up and said, "Can we come and hang out with you guys?" It had been a couple years. Dave and Linda have been our pastors for over 16 years. And, you know, we pastor a church, but, you know, pastors need pastors too. And they have been that for us. They've spoken into our lives. They've encouraged us. They've helped us get through hard things, and they've celebrated with us when things are going well. And we just said we miss our Canadian mom and dad. And so that's why we came. We wanted to come hang out with them. And then Dave said, "Well, don't think you're going to get off so easy." And so we were speaking at a leadership thing yesterday morning, and here I am preaching this morning. So a surprise. Joel and Angela are also great friends. I was just thinking, it's been 16 years now since we first met them at a LifeLinks conference, and Amanda and I were like the new people and awkwardly standing around, and they welcomed us in, and we've been really good friends ever since. I've had the joy of traveling with Joel on a couple trips. I've been to Vietnam with Joel and also India in 2019, and I had to turn him down for Uganda here this year, but we'll see, maybe another time. We'll get to go be a part of that. So this morning, I just want to tell some stories. And hopefully the stories will help maybe take some pressure off. Because I think sometimes we can complicate what is my calling, what is vision, what does ministry look like, how do I walk this thing out. And so I want to tell some stories, give us maybe a little bit of vision for our lives, but also just maybe simplicity to it as well. Because we really do believe that every one of you is called, every one of us, everyone who has chosen to follow Christ, we are called. And our calling is our whole life. Every part about our life, we are meant to go and live for Jesus and do everything for his glory and to serve him in everything we do. Whether you're at the golf course or you're at work or you're serving coffee on Sunday morning, all of it is part of living our call. But this morning, I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit helps us and a really important part of our call. And so I'll get to that. But first, I just want to tell some stories. So if you have your Bible with me, you can turn to Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to start with this story. This is a story that has really impacted me over the last few years. And it begins with Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. And he's teaching there, and a crowd has gathered around him. In fact, there's so many people that have gathered around Jesus that he gets into a boat, and he pushes off from shore a little bit, and he's in the boat out in the water, and he's speaking to the people in front of him, and maybe even something similar to this. I imagine there being a little bit of a slope on the shore, and people are there listening to Jesus, and he teaches them parables, and you know, you can look at what some of the parables were that he told them in Mark chapter 4. And then after he was done teaching them, it says it was evening, and he turns and says to his disciples, hey, let's go to the other side of the lake. And so they got in the boats, and they pushed off, and they headed to the other side of the lake. And I looked it up a little bit just to get a little bit of perspective. How big is this lake? Well, it was 10 kilometers to get to the other side. And 10 kilometers, you know, doesn't seem like a lot, but I have to remind myself, they didn't have motors, you know, they didn't fire up the engines and zoom, go whirring off to the other side. Like, they either had a sail or they had oars, and they had to make their way to the other side. And as they were crossing the lake at night, it says a furious storm came upon them. A squall is actually the word that's in my Bible. A furious squall, and it says the waves were coming against them, the water is crashing over the edge of the boat, and everybody's kind of in a panic, and then there's Jesus, he's sleeping in the stern of the boat. I don't know how he's sleeping, that is the peace of God right there. He's sleeping in the boat, and they wake him up, and they're like, Master, don't you care if we drown? And Jesus kind of, oh, it's a storm, right? And so he rebukes the wind, and he speaks to the wave and says, quiet, be still. And there it was still. And the disciples marveled and said, who is this guy? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And so eventually they get across the lake, and I imagine it's actually maybe morning by this time or early morning. And if I was one of the disciples, I would just be thinking, man, that was a pretty intense night. I just want to chill out on shore here for a little bit and recover. But as soon as they get to the shore, somebody spots them. And it is this man who has been living out in the tombs. He is demon-possessed. Like, he is so out of control that he can't be bound. They've tried to chain him up, and he breaks the chains off his hands and his feet. It says, day and night, he cries out, and he would cut himself with stones. Like, this guy had some issues. And so as they pull their boats up to shore after this intense night through a furious storm, this man comes running, and he spots Jesus, and he runs, and he falls on his knees before Jesus. He says, Jesus, what have you did to do with me? Let me get it right here. And he just screams out, you know, here it is. I want to get it. It's on the screen. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? In God's name, don't torture me. And Jesus says, what's your name? And he says, Legion, for we are many. Many demons. And then the demons begin to beg Jesus and plead with him not to send them from the region. And it says that there was a herd of pigs on the nearby hillside, 2,000 of them approximately. That's a lot of pigs. Imagine 2,000 pigs on a nearby hillside. And they said, please send us to those pigs. Let us go among the pigs. And Jesus says, go. And now, just imagine the scene. Sometimes I think we read stuff without putting ourselves there. In that context, imagine being there on the shore as 2,000 pigs become demon-possessed. And they begin squealing. And I imagine them running in circles and flailing about. And then it says they rushed down the steep hillside into the water and drowned in the lake. Imagine the scene of that, the squealing, the dust flying, the splashing in the water, the wild thrashing about, and then the eerie silence as thousands of pigs are floating in the water. It says that the people watching and tending the pigs, they ran off and they just begin to tell everybody what's going on, like, something crazy is happening. The pigs just ran down and committed suicide in the lake. And they ran and they began to tell everybody in the whole countryside and in the villages. And the people came. And when they came, what they saw shocked them. They saw Jesus sitting there. And the demon-possessed man, or the man who was demon-possessed, he was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And it says the people were afraid. They were afraid. It was too much for them. It says that they actually begged Jesus, please leave. Go. and they pleaded with him to leave their region. This is quite a story, right? And so after all of that, Jesus gets in the boat to leave, and the man who has been delivered, he begs Jesus, let me go with you. Let me go with you. And Jesus says, no, I want you to stay. Instead, go and tell your family, go to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And it says, the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. And after all that, Jesus and his disciples, they got into the boats, they pushed off from shore, and they went back across the lake 10 kilometers to the other side. And there are so many things we can draw from the story. You know, we can talk about the peace in the storm, you know, and how we need to remember that Jesus is in the boat with us when we face our storms. And we can talk about that. We can talk about how Jesus had authority over the demons and cast them out, and how we can be free and delivered through Jesus. We can talk about the man whose life was changed and then the call for him to go and tell his family and friends. Or we could even talk about the people in the region who were afraid as Jesus showed up and the fear of God was upon them. And they weren't sure that they wanted to receive Jesus because the cost was really high. But I think the thing that has gripped my heart with the story over these past few years is that Jesus went through all of that. He took his disciples through the night, through the storm, across the lake to encounter this wild demon-possessed man, the pigs, all of it. Jesus did it all for one man. He didn't stay and minister to anybody else in the region. They got in the boat and they left and they came back. And I've just been struck with this idea of how Jesus came for the one. Jesus came for the one. And I look at my life and I remember how Jesus came for me. I remember as a young boy sitting in a church service like this, I think I was maybe 6 or 7 years old, but somehow the Spirit of God touched my heart in a way. I remember being suddenly aware that I have sin in my life and that I need a Savior and that I need to be forgiven for my sin. And I remember praying a prayer with the pastor, inviting Jesus into my heart. Those were the words we used back then. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to live a new life. I remember praying that prayer as a young boy, 6 or 7 years old, in a church service. We didn't even have Sunday school yet at our church. I had to sit there with my parents, and if we were too loud, my dad would reach over and thunk you in the head. But Jesus met me there, and that began a journey. And then when I was 10 years old, my mom died. She had cancer, and she passed away. And I really went through a dark season in my life from in my middle school years, from grade 6, 7, 8. And I really just was wandering about in life, and I could feel myself walking away from the Lord. And if you asked me, I'd say, yes, I believe in Jesus, but I was living as if he didn't exist. And I was wandering from faith, and I was walking away from the Lord. And I remember a moment in that period, right between my grade 8 and grade 9 years, my oldest brother, he had moved away, but he moved back home, and he took me out for lunch. And it seemed like such a simple thing. He took his little brother out for lunch, and he just began to ask me about my life and what was going on in my life and my relationship with the Lord. And he didn't scold me. He didn't rebuke me. He just was interested, and he saw me. And I remember that year he bought a new Bible for me. It was this really nice NIV study Bible. And I just started reading my Bible. And it brought me to this moment where I just had this moment with the Lord. And I said, God, if you're real, I want everything you have for me. But if you're not real, then I don't want to waste my time anymore. And I remember like praying that prayer and saying, basically I said to God, God, you have 1 year. I'm going to give you 1 year of my life to show me that you're real. And in that year, God met me. He met me in the scriptures. He met me through relationships. He met me in my everyday world. And I begin to see that even though I had trouble and pain and hardship in my life, as I looked through the scriptures, I saw so many other people that had trouble and pain and hardship in their life, and yet God was with them. And I began to realize and see that God is with me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Jesus came for the one. He came for you. We see so many examples in scriptures of Jesus taking time to stop for the one. We see Matthew sitting at his tax collector booth. We see the woman at the well. We see a lame man at the pool who'd been couldn't walk. He'd been, not been able to move for 38 years. We see Jesus stopping for blind Bartimaeus by Jericho. And we see him with Zacchaeus saying, "Zacchaeus, I'm going to have lunch with you today." Jesus came for the one. He came for you. He came for me. But there's something else that I want us to get this morning, and that is that we are called to the one. We are called to the one. When we choose to follow Jesus and give him our life and follow after him, we're called to the one. And we can see in Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable about a king. And he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his throne in heavenly glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him. And he'll separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And he says, then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And those on his right said, "Lord, when did we ever do that stuff? When did we do that?" It's almost like they're scratching their head. "I don't remember doing that for you." But look what he said. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Whatever you did for the one, you did for me. And I think sometimes we feel like we have to do this big, grand thing for the Lord. And he's simply saying, look for the one. Who is the one that is in your life that you can minister to, that you can serve, that you can show kindness and compassion, that you can help, that you can be with, that you can pray for? Who is the one? It's not the call of professional Christians who get paid a salary from the church to be the ones to go looking for the one. This is the call of every believer. You are called to the one. Notice it was the sheep that he separated from the goats. It wasn't the leaders that he separated from the others. It was the sheep. It was the flock. It was all of us. And he's saying, you are called to the one. Who is the one that God has put in your life? And don't overcomplicate it. Just take it a day at a time. And the thing I like about this that we see in the book of Acts, I know you're in a series, the Acts of the Spirit, is that the Spirit helps us to see the one. And we see through the book of Acts, the Spirit helping the early Christians see the one. In particular, this morning, I want to look at Philip and how the Spirit helps Philip to see the one. It's in Acts chapter 8. And this is after the church, after the stoning of Stephen, and the church has been persecuted, and the disciples and believers have been scattered. And it says an angel told Philip to go south on the road, heads down to Gaza. And on the way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, and this guy was kind of a big deal. And look what happens here. It says, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. The Spirit was giving Philip eyes to see the one that he wanted to minister to in that moment. So it says that Philip ran to the chariot, and when he got near, he heard the man reading from Isaiah the prophet. And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And the man said, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And so he invited Philip up into the chariot, and Philip saw that he was reading out of what we would call Isaiah chapter 53 about how he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And the Ethiopian says, help me understand this. Who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And it says that Philip started with that very scripture, and he shared the good news with him. And then they came to some water, and the Ethiopian said, well, here's some water. What's to keep me from being baptized? And so in that moment, he was baptized, and then the Spirit took Philip somewhere else, and the Ethiopian continued on his way, rejoicing. But the Spirit helps us to see the One. He's our helper. He's our guide. He's helping us to have these divine appointments. Who are the ones that the Spirit has put in front of you? My wife goes to the hair salon, and several years back, she had been going to this hair salon, and she was thinking to herself, like, I think I'm done going to this hair salon. I might go to a different one, or just thinking it was maybe time for a change. And she really felt like God spoke to her and said, I want you to stay at this hair salon, and I want you to invest in it. She said, okay, I mean, it feels weird, but yeah, okay. So that very day, I mean, she was thinking, like, today is my last day at this hair salon. But that very day, God spoke that to her, and so she said, okay, I'm going to stay. Well, when she showed up at the hair salon, the owner said, I have this new hairstylist. She's great, but she's kind of, you know, building up her clientele and needing to, you know, learn. I don't know if she was going to practice on you. I think she was better than that. But anyway, the owner asked Amanda if she would be willing to switch to this new hairstylist. And so she said, yeah, sure. And so Amanda kept going, building a relationship with this girl. Over the course of time, this girl had been living with the man, and they decided they were going to get married. And one day while she's doing Amanda's hair, she said, yeah, I'm getting married, and my mom really wants us to talk to a pastor before we get married. So you guys are pastors. Would you have dinner with me and Max? And so Amanda said, sure, we'd love to. And so we went out to Mexican food. And I remember meeting Anna and Max over Mexican food. And they just cried through the whole meal. Not because the food was too spicy, but because God was doing something there. And we just loved them. And we encouraged them. And we spoke into their lives. And the Spirit began to do something in that moment. And we didn't know, you know, it was, okay, that was really cool. Well, pretty soon they started coming to our church. Max had grown up in a home where his mom had been married 3 times. Max himself was just struggling with life and depressed and kind of slipping into alcohol. And something captivated his heart, and they just began to come to church. And then they came to our newcomers class. And then they got hooked up with this mentor couple who began to go through, you know, what does it look like to follow Jesus? And I just remember the privilege of baptizing Max after he gave his life to the Lord. And now Max and Anna, they have 3 daughters. They're really good friends of ours. And it's just amazing to see how God has touched their lives. And you know, it was just being obedient to go be near somebody. I love how it says that the Spirit told Philip to go be near the chariot. And then God opened the door. And I think that's what happened with Amanda. Go be near the hair salon. And then God opened the door. And we've just walked through it. And now they're serving in youth ministry and just really active, involved in the church, and just really dear, great friends. The Spirit helps us see the One. There's other examples in Acts. I mean, you can just go through and just see how they took time to stop and see the One. Peter and John, when they saw the beggar at the temple gate and how they healed him. Philip and the Ethiopian. Ananias being willing to go and pray for Saul. Peter going to Cornelius's house. Paul and Silas with Lydia and Philippi. Take time to say, who is the Spirit calling me to be near, and how can I see the One? Our daughter is in basketball. Well, she just finished her basketball season. And as a family, Amanda and I felt like we just want to be involved and we want to be connected with this team. It's not a Christian school. And so they do these things called team dinners. And so, you know, it was just kind of this thing that they do. And so they invite the whole team over to different houses to have dinner as a team, and it's a team building thing. And so early in the season, we said, yeah, let's do a team dinner. Let's have the kids over. And so we had them over to our house, and it was like the most awkward meal we've ever had in the last, I don't know how many years. Like, these girls were awkward. They felt so uncomfortable in our house. Then they were like whispering, and it was like they couldn't wait to leave when it was time to go. That was early in the season. While we showed up at every game, we started to make signs and posters with different kids' names on it. We cheered really loud. We would say hi to them when we'd see them. We'd tell them good game. We got to know some of the kids. And so we had another team dinner before their last game of the season. And when they came, like, they were just so chatty. They were so comfortable. They made our daughter give them a tour of the whole house. And it was like, at the end of the night, we almost had to, like, kick them out the door. Like, we couldn't get them to leave. They were just really relaxed and having fun. And one of our goals was to just show them what family looks like. You know, some of these girls just come from some tough situations. And so we connected with them. And so then Amanda felt like, I want to write a card to each girl and just tell them what I see in them and encourage them. And it was kind of like undercover prophecy. So she wrote cards. I wrote one for the coach. And we gave them to all the team before their last game. And so they were reading them on the bus as they were going to the last game. And our daughter said that they were all like just like fighting back tears. And it's just, we don't know the end of their story, but it's just being available, being near. Okay, God, you've put us in this place. How can we see the people in front of us? Give us eyes to see. And that's what I want to encourage us with this morning. Let's not overcomplicate it. Where has God put you? Who are you around? And just begin to ask the Spirit, give me eyes to see. Let me see people how you see them. Let me see the one whose heart is ready. Let me see where I should invest. We had this young couple show up at our church a few years ago, and I felt like I needed to, you know, go out for wings with the guy. His name is Matt. And so I took Matt out for wings, and we sat down. And before we even ordered, Matt looked me in the eyes, and he said, hey, I just want you to know that I don't trust you at all, and I don't know if I ever will. That's how we began our wing night together. And I thought, okay. Well, Matt was somebody who was a pastor at a church. He'd been under several difficult situations, and he was really hurt in ministry. And he showed up at our church wounded. He showed up cynical. He didn't trust people. He was very guarded. Didn't know if he wanted to give his heart to anybody. And he really, I think at that point, he was questioning, like, is it worth it? Is following God worth it? And the narrative in his head was, I can just be totally content with me and my family, and that's it. I don't even need people in my life. But we pressed in, and I really felt like the Spirit said, this is somebody worth investing in. And so we just began to build a relationship. We began to have them over to our house. We had them as in our life group, and we just kept connecting. Eventually, you begin to see the wall kind of crumble down, slowly but surely. A few years ago, we invited Matt and Amber to come to AMP and be a part of the AMP program, and they came here with us to Regina. We're part of the LifeLinks AMP program. Matt is preaching at our church this morning today. He's on staff. God is working to restore his heart. It's not because we're awesome. It's because he's awesome. And we just have to be willing to say, God, who do you want me to go be near? And how can I be salt and light while I'm near them? How can I show them the goodness of God? And how can I be a faithful witness for you? And it doesn't have to just be taking them through the Romans road. Sometimes people just need to see gentleness lived out in human skin. Sometimes people need to see what forgiveness looks like. Sometimes people just need to feel seen. So I had some slides that I skipped here this morning, but really I just want to end with this thought. Who is your one? Who is the Spirit calling you to go and be near? Like Philip going to be near the chariot. You don't have to create some big program. You just have to be available. I love how Jesus left the crowd. He had the crowd. He left the crowd on the shore, and he went all the way across the lake to be with one person. And I believe that Jesus saw that man 10 kilometers away across the lake, and he heard him crying out in the tombs, and he said, I need to go to that one guy. Who is the one that God is calling you? What can that look like? And don't minimize really natural relationships. Dads, sometimes your kids need to be the one that you see. Maybe you need to take them out, spend some time with them, do something special with them. Maybe your wife is the one that you need to invest in this moment, and they need to feel the love and care of the Lord through you. Maybe you're a doctor or a nurse, or you work in a school. You have all kinds of people around you, but ask the Spirit, who is the one that you have for me today? Who do you want me to be near? And as we're near, we let our light shine, we're loving, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will have an impact. Who is your one? The Spirit helps us see the one. That's my act of the Spirit this morning. The Spirit helps us see the one. And so as we close in prayer, I had in my heart, not necessarily an altar call, but I just feel like God wants to commission us as the body of Christ, as followers of Christ. He wants to commission us to go and be like Jesus, to go to the one. Can you imagine if every one of us in this next year, God puts one person in your life that you can really invest in and disciple? Imagine that. The impact this church will have. We don't think too big. Start with the one, and then God will bring the increase. But I just want to pray for us, kind of commissioning us to have eyes of the Spirit to see the one. Is that okay? Would you stand with me this morning? And actually, I just want to invite you to pray a simple prayer with me. So I'll lead, and then you can repeat with me. Jesus, thank you that you came for the one. Thank you that you came for me. And thank you that you call me to the one. Holy Spirit, give me eyes to see the one. Help me to be available and obedient to go and be near that person. And Jesus, let me represent you well. I can't do it in my own strength, but by your Spirit flowing through me, let me love them as you love them. Father, I pray your blessing upon this congregation, upon the body of Christ here. And God, I pray that you would cause this church to have an impact in this city, Lord. As we go out and we love our neighbor as you have loved us, Lord, let us love with the love of Christ. And Lord, we know that the only way we can do that is by spending time with you and by knowing that we are loved by you. So Lord, let us live in love and let us go with your love. And God, we just thank you that you've called us to the one. Help us to embrace that call today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for having me with you.